Mark chapter 4. The meal of the day is Jesus Can Fix It, also known as the special. Some of y'all get that, some of you won't. Have you ever been to a restaurant where they only serve the special? Like what? Sorry. Go to Mark chapter 4. I'm going to stay right there. Mark chapter 4, verse 38. It's the same message plus a little more. We'll get to the Jesus Can Fix It part, Lord willing, right? Y'all all right? Everybody all right tonight? Golly, this should be our crowd that we could preach to, amen? Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Y'all ready? And the same day when the evening was come, He saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. I said this morning, Jesus will make everything else a liar. Amen. Jesus can't lie, so He'll make everything else a lie. He was going to the other side. The disciples were going to the other side. If you're saved, you're going to the other side. Amen. You might want to write this down, though. Guess what? Jesus will separate you from the crowd. What Jesus was doing at this point is He was taking His disciples and He was separating them from a crowd. A big crowd of people who had just been fed, just been blessed, just been taken care of. And guess what? Now He's sending them. He's sending them somewhere. Sometimes God's shipping is not cool to us. When God ships us, when He sends us, sometimes we have to check ourselves because we think, God, You are sending me in the wrong direction. You're sending me away from things that I know and I like and I'm comfortable with and I understand and I completely feel good about. Oh, has anybody ever been sent away from a crowd? Some of y'all are sitting here right now thinking, oh, I know what you're talking about. When Jesus separated me from my crowd. The old crowd, the drinking crowd, the lying crowd, the party crowd. That's not exactly who I'm talking about, unless it applies to you. But Jesus will also remove you from your crowd, amen, that keeps you from serving Him to capacity. Your mama and daddy crowd. Your mama, daddy, brother, sister crowd. Amen. Sometimes God will move you away from your family because you rely more on them than you will God. And they'll always say stuff like, I remember when, fill in the blank. I remember when, fill in the blank. You did this and you done that and you said this. Who do you think you are telling me about God? I've seen you do plenty of stuff. God sometimes will separate you from your crowd. And He will send you in a way, and He will send you in a place, and He will send you in a time where you're sitting there questioning everything about God. God, who do you think you are sending me this way? I thought when I got saved that you would set me up in a position, do it this way, do it my way, do it with all these. Hey, Paul, you're going to Rome. All right, where do I pick up my tickets? Amen. Where do I pick up my tickets to go to Rome? You're not getting tickets. You're going as a prisoner. You're going to go as a thief, as somebody that's locked up in prison. And the reason you're going to be a prisoner is if you're, come on, help me preach. If you're not a prisoner, you'll be dead. Amen? See, Paul was in the witness protection program. If they didn't arrest him, they were going to kill him. So Paul got sent by Jesus to Rome as a prisoner in the witness protection program. And I guarantee you when he said, you're going to Rome, he never imagined he was going in the form and fashion that he was sent. And God will send you in a form and fashion that you never see coming. So when he sends you and you look over your shoulder and you see everybody going another way, it's probably God. When you don't feel comfortable, it's probably God. Might write this one down. When you're scared out of your mind, it's God. Y'all good? Do y'all see that? That's a different point from this morning, correct? Golly, y'all got some good feedback. Thanks. Amen. Leave me out there. And when they had sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. We'll come back to verse 36. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Y'all remember that? Praise God. The ship was now full. Full of what? Full of water. They were taking on water. I wonder if they never even noticed how much water had got in the boat. Amen? They took on water. And then guess what? I was thinking about this as I got home, and I mentioned it to my wife, and she had already thought of the point too. But I was sitting there thinking from a different point of view. Those other little ships, we're looking at it from a different perspective than the perspective of the disciples and apostles that were in their ship. Amen? Same storm. I want y'all to write this down. Storms come no matter who you are. I said it this morning. I know I did, but I'm going to reiterate it. A storm doesn't matter whether you're doing right or wrong. Sometimes a storm will blow up in your life and you can be following Jesus. These apostles and disciples were following Jesus the correct way. They weren't doing anything wrong. They were following orders, they were following directions, and they were following Jesus. And they got a storm in their life. Don't be surprised when you're following Jesus, following orders, and doing it right, that a storm doesn't blow up in your life. Praise God, just keep on following Him. Amen? And remember, you put it in your mind, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to the other side. Praise God, this has got to be a God-ordained storm, and He must be doing some stuff in this storm to change me and to change others. To change me and to change others. So look around. Some of y'all need to understand this. You're not going through that storm just because of you. There's some people watching you go through the storm. Them other little ships. See, I started thinking about it when I got home, and I was thinking about them ships, and they're all watching, right? And they see Jesus doing everything. They see the apostles working. Oh, gosh. Working and working. Johnny, have you ever worked and thought God was going to be pleased by how much work you did? That ain't going to be real. Have you ever tried to work a blessing? Have you ever tried to work God? Have you ever tried to work God? Hey, God, I read. Hey, God, I prayed. Hey, God, I went to church. Hey, God, I served. Hey, God, don't that count for something? Am I the only one? Am I the only one that's ever told God of what my list of things that I've done? How come I'm going through? How come I'm suffering? How come it seems like you're not here? Don't you know who I am, God? Come on, man. God, I prayed. Didn't you see me at Sunday school? I got up early. Amen? Didn't you see me? I usually don't make it to Sunday school, but didn't you count that one? God don't work that way. You can't work God into doing something for you. It's got to be a relationship. You got to be loving Him despite whether He shows up, whether He works or not. Whoo! Working and bailing and throwing the water. And I'm wondering where He is at. Amen? And I'm wondering where He's at. But guess what? Amen. He's on board. Him other guys, they're watching, and they watched Him work, and they watched Him suffer, and they watched Jesus get up, and they watched Him calm the storm. They watched it. But I wonder if the people in the boat realized how big a blessing it was. Sometimes some people see Jesus in your life when you don't even see Him in your life. It's a different perspective. They seen him get in your boat. They seen Him take off with you. They seen Him when the storm started. They seen Him during the storm. But then they really seen Him after, when He calmed the storm in your life. But you might not have seen Him. Golly, I wish I had some. Has Jesus ever worked in your life and you didn't see it? Maybe not right away, but later on. When you got through something, everybody goes, man, you were so strong. You were so powerful. You were so wise. I don't know how you made it through that. And you're sitting there going, yeah. And you get in the car and you go, me either. I'm not that strong. I'm not that smart. I'm not that good. I didn't have it all together. And then you start reckoning, wait a minute, how did I make it? And God's sitting over there, you know how you made it, right? It was me. Amen. I started thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. They got through in the fiery furnace. And I'm not sure if they ever noticed that Jesus had showed up. But other people did. Did we not cast 3 men in? But I see 4. And the 4th one is likened unto the Son of Man, Son of God. Amen? I don't know if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego seen them. They might have still been, oh man, I can't believe we're in this fiery furnace. I can't believe we got cast in here. I wonder where God's at. Have you ever wondered where God's at, but you weren't burning up? Sorry. Hey, you wonder where God was, but you still ain't fell apart. You wonder where God is, but you still ain't went under. You're wondering where God is, and you still ain't gone broke. God, come on. Hey, you wonder where God is, and you ain't been checked into a sane asylum. Golly, we'll get extreme. Amen? You don't know where God is, but you're not dead. You don't know where God is, but guess what? You're not at the hospital. Amen? You don't know how you got here, but guess what? If you really examine, if you really investigate, you find out, wait a minute. Other people were saying, I seen God in your life. I seen Him working. I seen Him doing everything. Amen? Some people can see God in your life more than you can see Him in your life. I see people all the time going, man, I'm not as good a Christian as everybody else. I'm not doing it. I'm sitting there going, golly, if anybody else had your plate, some of the people that you wonder how they're doing it, they ain't got half the trouble you got. And if they had to deal with your stuff, they'd be crazier than you are. Oh, never mind. Did I say crazier than you are part? I did. Out loud. It's okay. You're crazy. And so am I a little sometimes. Amen. I love this part. Y'all ready? And there rose a great storm of wind. Verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Me and Gary, we love this. Our favorite part. Ain't that right, Gary? Thank you. I'm just kidding. I throw Gary under the bus quite a bit when I'm preaching. But Gary, one time I was preaching this, and I was preaching it maybe a couple few months ago, maybe 6-8 months ago. I don't even remember how long ago it's been. But I said, when did Jesus get to the place where he was sleeping and nobody noticed? Man, ain't that our favorite part? It's my favorite part. I don't want him sleeping in my boat either. How in the world did we get on the boat? Carol, I'm coming to you. Don't worry. Listen. How did we get on the boat? How did we get on this boat and somehow let Jesus weave his way through 12 disciples and apostles and grab a pillow and fall asleep? Amen? Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. Oh, it's just me and Jesus. If I was on a desert island, I'd only want one thing. Just me and Jesus. If I had one thing to ask for on a desert island, you know what I'd want? I'd want my Bible. If you ask me what I'd want, I want a pilot and a helicopter. I'm sorry. I'm not that spiritual. I don't want to stay on the island. I'd be afraid that when they found me, I'd have ate the Bible. Sorry. Hey, it's biblical. People ate, remember? Put honey on the scriptures and eat them. I'm just saying. But he fell asleep. And they let him sleep. And see, Carol said it this morning, God, you're in control. Am I? God, you're the Lord of my life. Am I? Because I think that we're a lot like these apostles. We're a lot like these disciples. We say God is our He's our leader, yet we don't talk to Him until we're in a situation where we're perishing, that we're dying, that we're hurting so bad that then we've got to go wake God up. But we didn't ask Him, is this the right direction? Is this the right oar? Is this the right paddle? I want God to be so mad because I'm asking Him so much stuff. It don't mean He has the answer, but He shouldn't be asleep in the situation. Amen? And I started thinking about different things in my life, and I started thinking about, If I was playing basketball, would I leave Michael Jordan on the bench if we were losing every game? Come down to the last game of the season. Hey, Mike, you mind putting them shoes on? Suiting up with us and playing tonight? Last game of the season. We're going to go defeated all year if you don't get in the game. I know some of y'all are looking at me and go, who's that guy? Okay, Wilt Chamberlain. Okay, thank you. Wilt Chamberlain, he scored 100 points in one game. Oh, hey, Wilt, you don't mind? It's the last game of the year. You don't get in? But what if I was a soldier? What if I was a fighting man? Hey, Patton, we fought this whole war, and it seems like we've almost lost. Would you like to get involved and maybe give us some strategy? Hey, Mr. Schwarzkopf. That's Desert Storms. Sorry. Would you like to get involved in some strategy against the enemy before we're totally annihilated? We're about down to the end. We're at the end of our lives. Amen? Just here at the end of the war, not at the beginning. Right? Maybe if I'm a golfer, right? Hey, Jack, we're on the 18th hole, buddy. Can you help me line it up? Of course, Tiger Woods, right? Hey, Tiger. I don't know any other golfers. I'm not a golfer. Somebody said, Rory. Okay, I got you, Rory. And then I started thinking about, what if I was the leader of the world? Huh. Hey, Abraham. It's the last day of my presidency, and I'd probably run this country into the ground. Could you give me some pointers? Y'all know Abraham Lincoln's the most popular president. Okay, I'll give you somebody else. Hey, Mr. Trump. What? What? I sat there all day and I said, there ain't no way I'm putting that one in there. There ain't no way I'm going to do it. But then I realized I'm on Flat Top Mountain and I can say it. Amen? Can you give me a little bit of leadership skills on the last day of my presidency? I don't run this in the ground, right? Well, that's what we do with Jesus. That's what we do with Jesus. Hey, Jesus, our youth in our church, they're just falling apart. They're falling victim to drugs, alcohol, sexual addiction, all kinds of stuff. They're lying, they're cheating, they're mad at each other, they're fighting, they're grumpy, all this stuff. What are we going to do? God, the whole thing's about to fall apart. What are we going to do? Do you think it would have been better if we'd have got together at the first of the year and said, God, will you help us, the teachers of the youth in this church? Amen. I'm going to keep preaching until I dig around on some of y'all. Don't worry about it. I'm coming. Amen. We really need help, Jesus, before we get started. Not when it's all fell apart and we're scrambling to figure out what to do with the young people. Listen to this, and I know everybody here ain't working. There's a wanna going on over there. I'm preaching. Just hang on. How do we fix the young people problem? You preach and teach with passion. You live for Jesus with passion in front of them. You don't worry about what they think about you. You don't worry about, well, I wonder if they think I'm cool. Guess what? Adults are not cool to teenagers. Wow! Newsflash! Just serve God. Let them see your fire. They'll figure it out, who's real and who's not. Oh, I'm a Sunday school teacher, and my Sunday school class is just kind of, it's not where I want it to be. It's not what I want it to be. It's kind of up and down, and sometimes we don't get into the conversation we want to. It's not led the way I think. Man, it's not really what I'm trying to get across. Well, guess what? You've taught it for so many years. When's the last time you went before God, laid that book, never mind, not the Sunday school book, the book, in front of God and said, help me be the teacher you would have me to be. Woo! Preacher, they're not coming to the altar and they're not getting saved. They didn't have the response. I came in on Wednesday night and they looked like they were about to die instead of live. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Oh man, God, am I failing you? You know what you're doing? You're wanting response from them. When's the last time you came to me before the message, before you started preparing, before you got the lesson ready? Hey, pray and ask me to help you and I'll anoint you. And it really won't matter what you say. It won't be mattering how you say it. If I get in it, you can say one word, shut the book, and let them come to me. God, we got problems in our church. We're trying to build a building here. We're running into all kinds of problems. Have we held hands on the grounds of the building? Have we talked about Jesus to the building? Or we just talk about the problems to each other, and hopefully at the end of it, we'll just get before God and say, wake up. Wake up. I hate to be this real about it, but I don't mind it either. Amen? Pray early. So then I started thinking about, that's church stuff. Why don't I dig around in some personal lives? Hey God, I got this problem with my wife. She's not the wife that I married. She's cold towards me. She don't do what I want her to do. She don't do it the way I want her to do it. Well, your marriage is about to fall apart and you haven't talked to God your whole marriage. And you're the spiritual leader of your household. No, I didn't say it. God said it. You kindle your relationship with God, and I guarantee you every relationship in your house will start to line up better. Amen? I can't believe my wife. I can't believe my kids. Yeah, I can't believe it either, because they're just a mirror image of who you are. Amen? I want them to be this. Well, if you want them to be what you want them to be, then you be that. It's amazing. Fathers, their sons become like them. Mothers, their daughters become like them. It's amazing. Good or bad. Good or bad. My husband, no good rascal. I've been trying to change him for 17 years, and he hasn't changed a thing. God, you better change him. Amen? When's the last time before your marriage got falling apart? Before. Hey, stop trying to give him a to-do list and fall in love with him again. What? Amen? Stop trying to tell him what to do. You're not his boss. You're his wife. If he wanted to marry his boss, he would have married the guy he works for. I know I said that. It ain't even right. Husbands don't need a boss. Golly. They got one. It's called Jesus. Can I tell you a secret? You want him to do more? Encourage him. Build him up. Tell him he's awesome. Tell him when he's carrying the garbage, that one sack of garbage, to the dumpster, just say, golly bum, I'm about to kiss you right now. Because, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. If you look at me that way, there's probably a problem with your relationships. I'm about to kick, man, you look so good. Them muscles, rip with that garbage bag in your hand. I'm glad that's a hefty bag. Because the way you ripped that up out of there, if it wasn't a hefty bag, it would have fell apart. Oh, come on. I'm telling you right now, he'll be taking trash out from every corner of your house. On his way, he'll be curling. Look at there, baby. You thought that was something. You ever seen a man that's been encouraged get groceries out of the back of a car? No, baby, don't you get... No, I got them all. I've walked in with 36 Walmart bags and one in my teeth. Just from some encouragement. It'd be good every once in a while they'd just hear you say a kind word. Amen? A lovely word. How about them kids? They're going through some stuff. Man, they're out of control. I can't get them to act right. Well, you tell everybody else about it. But you don't tell God about it. Amen? You don't tell God about it, and then you don't tell them you've been telling God about it. Have you ever sat down with them and told them why you're so adamant about it? Because you were just like them. I was just like you. I'm not mad at you because you're doing this stuff. I'm mad at you because if you keep doing it, you'll end up just like me. Amen? Or worse. I'm just here to help. Amen? Well, they've got sexual issues. I know. Every time I bring that up in the church, all the older people in the church go like this. Can't believe you're talking about sexual stuff again. I'm sorry that we've made it past all that, but guess what? This next generation has not. Well, they're not old enough. Guess what? Lie again. It starts when you're about 7 or 8. It probably stops when you're 79 years old. Some of y'all. But guess what? It's what they deal with. It's what we do. How do we deal with it? Pray for them. Pray for them as they're getting in their car to go to school, as they're getting on the bus, while they're at school. Ask God to get involved. When's the last time you prayed like that? When's the last time you let your kids know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't pray for you? And if there is, start. Start. Well, my kids got major issues. There's sexual identity issues. Well, I can't fix that. Nope, you can't. God can. God can. He's got drinking issues. He's got alcohol issues. He's got drug issues. I can't fix that, nor can you. God can. God can. Have you stopped praying to God and asking Him? You know what my dad did? You know what got me saved? You know why I'm standing here as a preacher today? You know why I'm standing right here right now? Because my dad, every place in East Tennessee, there was not a church that he went to. When he stood up, before he said, I'm a missionary, he would say, I've got 2 sons. And one of them is out of control. I'm worried about him. I think he's going to die before he hits 21. Will you pray that he gets saved? I don't care if you support my ministry and what I do in the prisons, will you pray for my sons? And you know what? When I got saved, God showed me one of the only reasons I got saved, there's 2 of them. God had a calling on my life, number one. Number two, somebody stood in the gap for me. I should have died on a flight to Rota, Spain. I walked outside of a plane, turned to the left and looked, and every emergency vehicle they had was turning and going out of the way. The last thing the pilot said on the plane was, everybody sit down. I said, that can't be good. Amen? There's more times that I should have been arrested and dead and shot and stabbed and killed. I've walked into things and walked out of things that I never should have walked out of, and the only reason I did is a daddy said, don't let my boys go. Amen? You wonder why I ain't saying mamas, because mamas pray anyway. But us daddies, we need to pick up some slack. Who should I date? Don't wait till your dating life has fell apart and she's keyed your car and flattened your tires and busted out your windows. Talk to God about it before. Amen? Don't be dating the guy and find out, man, he looks good, but that was his friend's car that he was driving. He don't have a job, and he lives in his mom's basement. And he is 35, not 25. There's all kinds of things going on. We talk, like Carol said, we talk about God, you're the Lord of my life. You are my Savior. You are God. You're in control of everything. Yet, I'll only talk to you when I'm dying, when I'm failing, or when I'm going under. Never in the beginning, never in the middle, never when I still got strength to do it on my own. Only when everything else has failed. Amen? Wouldn't it be cool to come to God in the front place, in the very... Some of y'all think I'm crazy. It's biblical too. Amen? Abraham had a nephew. Amen? Right? Lot. They both come up on a situation where their livestock was too much for both of them. What do you think we should do? Well, I think we should split up. Lot said, I like that land, and I like that place. You know what Abraham said? I'm going to build an altar. Amen? Lot said, give me that land. Amen? Give me Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what Abraham said? God, what would you have me to have? Amen? Both of them looked, man, when Lot looked down in that valley, it was beautiful. And it looked like it could, sustain all of his livestock and him. Yet the day he walked out of there, he didn't have a wife. He didn't have livestock. He had two kids who were so twisted and backwards, they thought it would be a good idea to get their daddy drunk and have kids. And they created a nation called Moab. Amen? You know what would be a good idea for us? If we'd start talking to God first. Amen? If we'd get Jesus to fix it before it's broken. Let's all stand as I come get a song of invitation. If we could get Jesus to fix it